Revelation chapter 8. If you're new this morning, I'm preaching through the book of Revelation. So we're in the midst of the tribulation, which is a seven-year period where God is really judging the earth for their rebellion against himself as the creator and to judge the earth for all the sins they have committed. It's kind of a very horrible time. I happen to be pre-trib, which means that I believe that the church is raptured out ahead of time before the tribulation begins. But during the tribulation, many people will come to the Lord. And so there are three sections of judgments known as the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. And they kind of get worse and worse as you go through the 7 years of the tribulation. We've already done the seven seals, and now we're into the seven trumpets of judgment, and later on will come the seven bowls. Last week, we went over the first four trumpets. If you remember, so these are seven judgments that fall upon the earth, and they're even more horrible than what the seven seals were. So trumpet number one sounded, and if you remember, out of the sky comes hail, fire, and blood that comes down upon the earth. It burns up one-third of the earth, one-third of the trees, and all of the grass. It definitely could seem like some type of nuclear warfare. Trumpet number two was something that looked like a big mountain. It could be a missile or something. Lands in the Mediterranean Sea, blows up one-third of the fish and creatures in the Mediterranean Sea are killed, and one-third of the ships are destroyed, and one-third of the Mediterranean Sea turns to blood from all this death. Trumpet number three sounds, and a star falls, a comet, a meteorite, something, it looks like it comes from space, lands on the earth. It's called wormwood, and the star has some kind of poison to it that's bitter, and it affects one-third of the rivers and the streams, and many, many people who drink of that water die. And then the fourth trumpet sounded, and we are told that the sunlight loses one-third of its light, and the moon loses one-third of its light, and the stars lose one-third of their light. So we're not sure if that's because of a nuclear winter or God himself is messing around with the sun, the moon, and the stars. In Luke, we read a passage that Jesus said that during the tribulation, there will be signs in the heaven with the sun, moon, and stars, and it will be so terrifying that grown men will faint in apprehension of what is coming. So that was the first four trumpets, and now we're going to read at the end of chapter 8, verse 13. So Revelation chapter 8, verse 13 is where we left off. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." So trumpet blast number 5, 6, and 7 are even worse than the first four. And this eagle flies around going, "Woe, woe, woe." Now, two of those woes we're going to go over. They're in chapter 9. The third woe isn't actually until a little bit later on in the book of Revelation. So this is a horrible time. By the way, someone may say, "Well, wait a second, this is interesting. This eagle is speaking, flying around the earth going, woe, woe, woe." Well, you know, parrots can speak and canaries, I think. And in the Old Testament, God made Balaam speak. So God has no problem making an eagle speak. In fact, I happen to believe that when we get to heaven, I think perhaps all the animals will be able to speak. So this eagle is warning the earth what is going to happen. And some have said that chapter 9 can be referred to as hell let loose on the planet. So let's start in chapter 9, the first woe. Chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torment them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth was like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails, they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon and in Greek Apollyon. Okay, so let's back up. In verse 1, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. In the book of Revelation, I've already mentioned this, but stars often refer to angels. In chapter 1, Jesus is holding 7 stars in his hand. And then in chapter 1, verse 20, he says, the mystery is this, the 7 stars are the 7 angels of the churches. Later on in Revelation, we read that Satan takes 1/3 of the stars with him. And then it tells us that that's 1/3 of the angels that go with him. So we believe this star is an angel. In fact, we actually believe that this star that had fallen from the heavens, the sky, to the earth is none other than Satan himself. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. He's given the key to unlock a shaft that leads down into hell, into the abyss. One of the reasons we believe that this is probably Satan, and I know I'm jumping ahead, is because down in verse 11, it says they had as king over them the angel of the abyss. That's the star, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon and in Greek Apollyon. And I have a footnote that both of those terms means destroyer. And so Satan is this angel over the abyss. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, we read that Jesus holds the keys of death and Hades. He holds the keys to the abyss. So Jesus has to allow Satan, he gives Satan the key to the shaft of the abyss. Jesus gives him the key and gives Satan permission to open up the abyss. And in the abyss comes out these demonic locust scorpion-like creatures. So let's stop for a second. We believe these are demons that come up out of the shaft of this abyss. I want you to come back with me for a moment to Luke chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. I don't know if you remember, there's a story where Jesus is driving out demons out of a demon-possessed person. And Jesus has a conversation with the demons. And so Luke chapter 8, in verse 30, the demons are upset. They don't want to be tortured by the Son of God. And so in verse 30, Jesus asks him, he's talking to a head demon, what is your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into what? The abyss. Because that's where Jesus can send demons. And I actually believe, like over 2,000 years, I've been involved in exorcisms, and a lot of times I notice pastors will drive demons out of people, but we probably have the authority, just as Jesus did, to throw demons into the abyss where they're being tortured. It's like they're being thrown into hell kind of ahead of time. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. Just come over a few chapters to Luke chapter 10. One more thing about demons I want you to see. Jesus sent out the 72 disciples, and they come back, and they're all excited because they've been casting out demons. And so Luke chapter 10, verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on what? Snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice at the spirits, the demons submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, the reason I want to point this out to you is a lot of people think that is Jesus talking about literal snakes and scorpions? You know, like gardener snakes, black snakes, rattlesnakes, cobra snakes. And is he talking about scorpions that live in Arizona? And the answer is, no, that's probably not what he's talking about here. That these snakes and scorpions that he's talking about, when he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, is demons. Demons that take on or have the look of snakes and scorpions. You remember that Satan appeared to Adam and Eve as what? As a snake, as a serpent. Okay, so Jesus is, in a sense, we don't know, of course, we're going to look at a description of a demon right here in Revelation, but it's like, what do demons actually look like? And Jesus here kind of refers snakes and scorpions, and I've given you authority to trample on them. You have authority over demons. However, don't rejoice that they submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, come back to Revelation chapter 9 again. So, for 2,000 years, demons have been being thrown into the abyss. But now, Jesus gives Satan a key to unlock the shaft to the abyss, to where these demons are. Verse 2, when Satan opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. Kind of picture in your mind like a volcano, you know, like it opens up and the smoke and all from hell comes up out of that abyss. Smoke from like a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth, and they were given power like that of what? Scorpions. Interesting. The same thing that Jesus talked about, that we have power to trample on snakes and scorpions. These demonic, and we know they're not actual scorpions, because in verse 4, they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, which normal locusts would do, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So they are able to torment all the people who are not believers. Verse 5, they were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of a sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Now, we're given a description of what these demonic locusts look like. So let's look at the description in verse 7. And you tell me what you think, if this fits it pretty well. Verse 7, the locusts look like what? Horses. Does it look like a horse? Pretty good, right? Okay, looks like horses prepare for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold. Do you see the crown of gold that they put on here? Got it? Their faces resembled what? Human faces. So we have that there. Their hair was like women's hair. And so we're assuming that means long. You know, because obviously women have the same color hair as men. So that's why it's got the woman's hair on that. And their teeth was like lion's teeth. They had breastplates, like breastplates of iron. So I see, though it looks like a horse, they've got it like with breastplates of iron on that horse, okay? And the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. So obviously these demonic creatures have wings. So that's why we've got the wings there. Verse 10, they had tails and stings like scorpions. And in their tails, they had power to torment people for 5 months. So you see the tail coming out. That's a tail like of a scorpion with a stinger on the end. So like I said, whoever drew this rendition, I don't know how accurate this is, but it's like, wow, that's pretty good to the description of this may be one of the only accurate descriptions we have of what demons can look like, okay? This is a rendition from 1862. So this is from 140 years ago, someone who tried to draw what these locust demonic demons look like, which I thought, not bad for 1862 in writing this. The sting of a scorpion is very, very painful. My dad lives down in Arizona. He has to have, what are the people that come, exterminators that come through every month or so to spray for scorpions because you don't want to be bit. While we were there, there was one, we saw one go through the kitchen that my stepmother stepped on and killed. When you get bit by a scorpion, most of the time you don't die. It's just very torturous for quite a long time. You get sweating and palpitation and chest pains and breathlessness and cough and restlessness and salivation and nausea and vomiting and abdominal pain and headache and convulsions. So it's a pretty horrible type of pain. So let's ask the question here. Why is it that God allows the demons that are in the abyss to come out and torment people for 5 months, we're told twice, but not to kill them? And it's not the believers. It's not the 144,000 who are sealed, but I don't believe it's any believer as well that gets saved during the tribulation because we are given authority to be able to trample on snakes and scorpions that are demonic and to overcome all the power of the enemy. So why does God allow this to happen? And here's a couple, at least here's the thought that I like. It's kind of like God is like, you know what? I want to give people on the earth. I'm trying to win them, to help them to repent. I think I need to literally give them a taste of what hell is like on earth. That's why chapter 9 is called Hell on Earth, because God releases the demons that are in hell. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, Jesus teaches that hell was created for Satan and the fallen angels and the demons. That's why God created hell. It wasn't created for us, but because we've sinned and rebelled against God and joined Satan and the demons, now, unfortunately, people go to hell as well. And so God's like, you know what? A lot of people think that hell isn't that bad, or, you know, this will be fun, or this will be great. I think maybe I should let people realize what it will be like if you go to hell and you dwell with these demons that are in the abyss, in hell. So I'm going to release these demons. I'm going to give permission for Satan to release them to show people ahead of time, this is what you're going to experience if you go to hell. Because that's where these creatures, these demons live, and these fallen angels. But I don't want you to kill the people, because I want to give them the opportunity to understand the horrible pain so that they can repent. So I'm not giving permission to the demons to have them die. But just so you know, it really will feel like hell. Look at verse 6. We're told that the people suffer for 5 months. But look at verse 6. The suffering is so bad that it says in verse 6, during those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Do you see that? The people literally want to die, but they can't die. Death eludes them. You know, that's the most amazing description of what hell will be like. You will long to die, but you will never be able to die. See, the Bible teaches, Jesus teaches, that there is a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. When the born-again Christians, when the Christians are resurrected, we get new bodies that are perfectly fitted for us to enjoy the glories of heaven. Bodies that will never die, and bodies that will just experience amazing things up in heaven. But unfortunately, the Bible also teaches that the wicked will be resurrected from the dead as well. And they too will get eternal bodies that are prepared, uniquely prepared, for them to be in hell for eternity and also never be able to die. And so when people wind up in hell, you know, right now for 5 months they're being tormented when these demons get loose and the people want to die but they can't die. Well, that's the way it will feel in hell. People will be in hell and they're like, oh, I want to die. I want this to come to an end. But unfortunately, it won't just last 5 months. It will last for eternity. It's a horrible thing. And so God's like, you know what? I want people to realize where they're going, what they're going to experience, that there's no way to die and get out of it. So demons, I'm going to let you loose, torment the people for 5 months. You can't put them to death. They can't die. They're really going to get a feel of what it's like if they don't repent and come to Jesus. It's out of God's mercy. I know it doesn't seem that way, but it's out of God's mercy. Let me give you 5 months now so that you'll avoid eternity later. All right, let's move on to the second woe, verse 12. The first woe is past. two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who have been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. So let's stop here for a second. The sixth angel blows his trumpet. It is the second woe. There are four angels who are connected with the river Euphrates somehow. They've been waiting for this exact hour, day, month, and year to be released. And when these angels are released, whatever they're releasing, then John sees this incredible large army of 200 million. So here's the river Euphrates. You see it running there through Iraq and Syria and up to Turkey. Some speculate that there are, and I guess there are, but that there are four significant dams that are built on the river Euphrates. And that if you close down those dams, you can dry up the river, allowing for massive armies then to move across the river Euphrates and to attack Israel. And so putting together with some verses in the Old Testament, there is speculation that armies from the east will move in and try to, and of course Israel isn't shown on this, but it would be under the two of Syria, right? So let's talk about this army of 200 million horsemen that John says, I heard the number of how many were in this huge army. Now, just so you know, some people believe that this army could be 200 million more demons. Though most commentaries believe that this is not demons in this case, that this is actually some kind of human army that comes from the West. From John's perspective, let's get some perspective on what the number 200 million would mean to a person living in the time of John the Apostle. In John's time, the Roman army consisted of about 300,000 soldiers. The entire population of the world in 1 AD is estimated to have been 200 million. So an army of 200 million was both impossible and inconceivable at the time of John's vision. Does everyone understand that? Now, this is interesting. For the last 20, oh, I shouldn't say the last 20 years. Okay, so I've been a Christian 40 years. So I would say for the first 30 years that I've been a Christian, from 1977 to 2007, almost everyone has said that the army of 200 million men is from China. That China, this communist country of over a billion people, a billion and a half, that they will send 200 million soldiers to attack the Middle East and Israel. And so in a lot of my older commentaries, it's like, it's definitely China. They've got the amount of people. And in fact, in the Guinness Book of World Records, it's often put in there that China has boasted that they could put together the largest army of 200 million people. And so that's what's been the going saying until the last 10 years. Now all of a sudden it's changed and we're not convinced it's China any longer. That in fact there are now 1.6 billion beep, beep, beep in the world. And 10 to 15% of 1.6 billion is, you guessed it, 160 to 240 million. That's an army of between 160 to 240 million, beep, 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 committed to a literal violent jihad. I thought, interesting. The interesting thing about China is, I don't know if you're aware, but China now has the largest Christian evangelical church in the world. China right now has over 200 million evangelical Christians and is growing like crazy. So I'm not sure whether China, which may become the most powerful Christian nation, and God's blessing is going off the U.S. and going over to China. So I'm not sure that it's actually China that might be attacking Israel. I don't know, but it is kind of interesting that in the last 10 years we've shifted from China to like, oh, maybe it's a new type of army. So some believe that in verse 17, that this is the Apostle John trying to describe a modern army of tanks and stuff like that. So that's why I put this picture up here with the tank, and with often tanks carrying missiles behind them. So let's look at the description. Verse 17, the horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. That's why I have this picture here. When a tank fires, this is what it looks like. If John's describing something he's never seen before, out of the mouth comes fire, smoke, and sulfur. Well, that's what it looks like when a tank is firing. Verse 18, a third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. Verse 19, the power of the horses was in their mouths. So let's go back to this tank here, okay? Was in their mouths, so that's the front of the tank, and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes having heads with which they inflict injury. So some believe that John sees missiles behind the tanks that are like snakes, like tails that have heads that inflict damage. So one third of the people in the world are killed by this huge war of the 200 million soldiers and the rest of the world that probably confronts them. There is so much death that one third of the population, a third in verse 19, a third of mankind was killed by this war. Verse 20, the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons. My only comment there was, I did look up how many shows on television promote witchcraft, sorcery, Satanism, etc., etc. Some people are now calling television hellavision. It's somewhere between 54 shows and 180 shows on TV series are promoting witchcraft, sorcery, demon, Satan, angel, bad angels, good, that all of our kids are watching. You know, the good demons against the bad demons and the good witches against the bad witches. Worshiping demons, idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders. More people have been murdered in the United States in the last 100 years than all the soldiers that we have lost in every war that we have fought. The Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, II, Korea, Vietnam, and the War on Terror. We have killed more people by murder in the USA than we've lost in all the wars of American soldiers. In fact, in the War on Terror, we've lost over the last 10 to 15 years, 7,000 Americans. It's more dangerous to live in a lot of our inner cities than it actually is to be over in Iraq in the war, okay? But they did not repent of their murders Oh, by the way, I'm not even going to mention abortion, because that would up the numbers tremendously. They didn't repent of their murders. The next one says their magic arts, their sexual immorality, and their thefts. I want to focus on, you see where it says their magic arts? Some might have sorcery. So I want to focus on that one in closing. Because here is the actual Greek word that some versions will have sorcery, some versions will put magic arts. It's not talking about sleight of hand magic here. It's talking about the magic art that sorcerers, witches, warlocks, Satanists, you know, would practice. So does that word, that's the literal Greek word. Does that word look familiar to you? Yeah. That's because ancient pagan religious use of drugs was involved when they would do sorcery and magic. Mind-altering drugs were widely used to induce temple sleep, during which drugged individuals would hallucinate and see gods, goddesses, heaven, hell, demons, and all kinds of spiritual things. There are three main ways that people get possessed by demons. Number one is when you play with the occult. So that should scare just about most parents from what are your kids watching, okay? But number one is playing with Ouija boards and opening yourself up to being a witch or being in the spiritual realm of occults. Number two is through sexual immorality, which is the next thing mentioned on that list. And then the third way is by playing with drugs. So I want to talk to you for a moment about the drug use in our country or in the world. My wife and I have been watching on TV. National Geographic has done a whole series, and we've taped them all, of the drug epidemic in the United States and the world. I am telling you, it is frightening what is happening in the world with drug use. Now, I want to stop and say, look, I even think Scripture backs up the use of medical drugs given to you under the supervision of a very wise doctor who knows temporarily you need these drugs to help you, and they're not mind-altering and fooling around with your spirit. And so, look, don't. My dad and his three brothers are all pharmacists. They start out in Philadelphia College of Pharmacy. So I realize there is legitimate use for painkillers and penicillin. Is everyone with me? Okay, let's put that aside. You also know that it's being heavily abused. And in fact, the opioid epidemic is taking over our country. Trump even wanted to put in his health care plan billions of dollars to try to fight because it is so powerful and so addictive. Look at this. Presently, 1 in 7 Americans have a drug addiction problem. Let me see. We have 700 people that attend LifePoint. So how many people would that be in our church? 100. 1 out of 7 have a drug problem. It's frightening. It's not going away. It's growing. The war against drugs is losing. The drugs are more powerful, cheaper to make, more addictive than ever, and it's just spreading, and the government, even in a sense, is helping. It's not just the USA, it's the whole world. And it's getting, and it's scary, the thought of raising kids and grandchildren in today's world. And I think to myself, look, it's 1 in 7 already, but when the rapture occurs and the Christians are taken out, the percentage of people on drugs, mind-altering demon-possessing. You remember it says they wouldn't repent of worshiping demons, and pharmacia, drug use. Well, drug use opens you to demon possession big time. Drugs is ruining our country, and it's growing. It's going to get worse. If it hasn't already affected you somehow in your family, then count yourself blessed. But it's kind of sad what's going to happen in the end times during the tribulation, and how the people, maybe because of the torment, because of the pain of the demonic locusts that sting like scorpions, maybe people will turn to drugs like never before. The whole world will be on one huge high. That Satan, you know, Satan drugs, it just hits me. Like Satan is always like, oh, it's so enjoyable at first, isn't it? Sin is pleasurable for a short while, right? But ultimately, Satan is a liar. So he always tells people, oh, don't worry. Drugs is wonderful. It's fun. It's enjoyable. You never felt anything so pleasurable. But he always lies because in the end, it kills you. It destroys you. There's only freedom in Jesus. There's only the joy in the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would, my heart is sick when I think about how this was written 2,000 years ago and how accurate it is. Like the people would not repent of murder. And we have not repented of murdering people. It's growing in our country. And abortion, and we have not repented. We have not repented of drug use. We have not repented of sexual immorality. It is every type of sexual immorality is being paraded out there in the world. What happened to the beautiful bond of a sexual relationship among a wife and a husband? That's history. Lord, we need help in this country, but in the whole world, it's going down the tubes. Wake us up as a church. We pray for a hedge of protection around our kids, our grandchildren, that they would, Lord, I think the number one way to protect them is to make sure they know Jesus, that they're walking close to Jesus, that they have the abundant life in Jesus. And don't even try drugs, alcohol, tobacco, all this stuff, even one time. Why even try it? Lord, bless the believers here this morning here. May all of the saints in this service be prayer warriors for the whole church. In your name we pray. Amen.